What's going on, folks? We are back. Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer. And the question that's been on my mind the entire week, last week, I've missed a show. This show is going to be a mega show, but the question on my mind is, what's wrong with Shador? I mean, does anyone know? I don't think anyone does, but yeah, today's a mega show. I missed a week, so we'll get into Shador. We'll do the top 22 goosebump moments of the last 2 weeks. I'll give you my cheaters NBA playoff picks. Weird show in store for you. It might not be as long as a typical mega show, but we'll see what happens. Who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So what's wrong with Shador? We don't know. Apparently, it sounds like everyone's been saying what's wrong with him. Well, his personality. You know, he's a little cocky, a little flashy. He spends too much time on social media. Shouldn't be on these Twitch streams and all these YouTube videos. You know, he's just too much. Just 2 months ago, we thought Shador was going to be the number two pick in the draft. We thought, you know, Cleveland needs a guy. Why wouldn't they go after Shador Sanders? Over the past month or so, coming, you know, leading up to the draft, they were like, okay, Browns probably take Travis Hunter at two. That makes sense. He's a generational talent. Same team as Shador, Colorado, but, you know, much better player. So Cleveland's going to take him. Nope. They trade the pick to Jacksonville, and Cleveland doesn't. They fleeced the entire league. Basically, what happened is Cleveland considered taking this man at the second overall pick, and in a Sonny Weaver Jr. draft day movie-style twist, Cleveland trades pick two. I think they got an extra first-rounder or an extra second-rounder in exchange for that. They fleeced the whole league for Shador Sanders. This is what happened. They got Mason Graham, and it's just a whirlwind. Sorry, I have 2 weeks of stuff worth to cover. I'm going to hopefully get the highlights. A lot of stuff that I missed. But just one of the weirdest stories I've ever seen. One of the most entertaining drafts ever in Green Bay. But yeah, what's wrong with Shador that Cleveland would pick a quarterback in round three and then pick Shador in round five? I don't know. Everyone's saying it's the personality, but we've had, like, you know, Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel and, you know, other bombacious personalities, if that's even a word, that have still gotten drafted high because people believe in their talent. You know, Shador may be a little overrated from a talent standpoint, but I keep hearing he was one of the, you know, tops in the nation in completion percentage. So he deserved to be a first-round pick. I was shocked the Steelers didn't take him. My brother was shocked, too. It's looking more and more likely that Antonio Brown's Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh prediction is going to come true. But I don't know if there's anything wrong with Shador outside of his personality, which is what everyone keeps pointing to. But I don't know. What I think what maybe is a little more likely that occurred is I think his dad had something to do with it. Shador Sanders' father, Deion Sanders, Prime Time, Coach Prime, whatever you want to call him, I think he might have did his son dirty a little bit because he... Now, the tweet everyone keeps looking back at is from 2018. You know, Deion tweeted out something along the lines of, if I'm a young quarterback, I don't want to play in Cleveland. I would pull an Eli Manning if the Browns try to draft me and refuse to play for their team. So you can't look at that. That's, you know, that's 7 years ago. But we did hear rumors, and I think even some, like, actual legitimate reports that Deion had a do not draft list and that Deion was heavily involved in the draft process. I feel like a couple months ago I talked about this. I was like, why does Deion want to be involved in the draft process? Because I saw that and I'm like, he should, you know, focus on Colorado football and let Shador's agent handle it. So honestly, I do think that the Cleveland Browns were on Deion Sanders' do not draft list. That is what I truly believe. But didn't matter because he ended up going there anyways. And I think it could have hurt him. I think he could have been a second round pick had Deion maybe not been quite as vocal. I don't know. I don't think there's that much wrong with Shador. I just think, I don't know, everything got blown out of proportion with his, you know, personality, and obviously the name Sanders has a lot attached to it, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I think that's the steal of the draft, which gets me to my next question. Who won the draft? Absolutely, I think the Cleveland Browns won the draft. No one would have been shocked had they taken Sanders at pick two. They got him in the fifth round. They fleeced the entire league. Really, the league fleeced Shador, because Shador should be one of the highest paid rookies this year. You know, forget about whether or not you think he was a first round pick. Even as a second round pick, he'd be, you know, on the higher end of rookie salaries. But yeah, I'm giving the win to Cleveland. They got an extra pick. Yeah, they passed up on Travis Hunter, but they still got a guy they were considering five rounds later. What a weird quarterback room. I didn't think you could get funnier than Russell Wilson, Tommy DeVito, and Jameis Winston as a quarterback room. Then they added Jackson Dart. That's funny. But no quarterback room in history has topped the Cleveland Browns current quarterback room of Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders. They should have a Royal Rumble style practice to decide who the best quarterback is, who gets the starting job. Or, you know, I think I saw someone said they should have them on rotation like MLB pitchers. You know, Flacco starts the game. If he, you know, if he's given up a couple runs after a few innings, you know, maybe you turn to Kenny Pickett as your middle reliever. You bring Shador in as the closer. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Flacco will end up starting, and I think Shador, I think he's going to win that QB competition at some point. And honestly, I think this is one of the best things that could have happened for Shador and Cleveland, because if he had gotten picked at number two, expectations would be very high. You know, it'd be the Brown savior. He's coming in to change our franchise for the better. But now when you pick him at round five, you're getting a pissed off Shador Sanders. Doesn't know if he's starting. Doesn't know if the team that drafted him even thinks he's better than Dylan Gabriel, his teammate. And definitely probably doesn't have immediate confidence to start him over a guy like Joe Flacco. So you're going to have a Shador Sanders with a chip on his shoulder. I think I'm going to call it now. I think he's the next great Browns quarterback. And I don't know why I said the next great. The only great one they've had really is Baker Mayfield. So I think he is the Cleveland Browns franchise quarterback. And I'll leave it at that. Cleveland won the draft by stealing Shador Sonny Weaver style. That was a lot of football talk. I didn't get into the Green Bay pick. I mean, Matthew Golden, how could you go wrong by drafting our first ever receiver in 20 plus years? I was hype. I was actually wearing his jersey at the time. I'm technically wearing it now. He's actually not going to wear number two. He's going to wear number 22 for the Packers. Shout out Malik Willis. That's whose jersey I got on. But great pick by the Packers. You know, everyone expected them to go, you know, defense or O-line like we always do. But we got it. We got the fastest guy in the draft. 4.29 speed. Hype for Matthew Golden. Me and my brother were arguing about who gets to get his jersey. I think we came to the compromise. We're both going to get the same freaking jersey, just maybe different colorways. But yeah, Matthew Golden, we're all hyped for you. A lot more to talk about on the draft, but I'm trying to finish this show before 5 p.m. when the Bucks game starts, which, you know, some people want to watch down here. And that's my next question. Is Milwaukee bucked? Dumbest question maybe I've asked ever. The question is a pun. That's really stupid, obviously, but it's a great question. Is Milwaukee bucked? Are the Bucks fucked? Do I have my wallet on me? Do I have the F-bomb jar on me? I owe a dollar for that. I don't know. I'll do some inventory at the end of this show. I don't even know. Where's the... Oh, here it is. You got to show the F-bomb jar to those who have no idea what I'm talking about. That's where you say the F-words and you put money in the jar. I'm not putting maybe 20 to see if I can swear the rest of this Bucks thing off. But yeah, Milwaukee, they're kind of bucked. They signed John Horst to a multi-year extension, but of course they're down 3-1 in the series right now. And the 3-1 deficit is not what Bucks fans are concerned about. as I hopefully didn't murder the audio there by plugging in my camera. But yeah, the 3-1 deficit is not what fans are worried about. They're worried about Damian Lillard. I thought I was going to do a show 2 weeks ago. My apologies to Serge and the King. We were going to do an NBA playoff preview, but I've just been very busy at work, locked in. I dropped the mic media. Check us out, guys. But my notes are old. It says, oh, Damian Lillard's off blood thinners. He's out game one, but could be back soon. Oh, he's back for game two. And this most recent game he played in, he unfortunately tore his Achilles at age 35. That is eerily similar to kind of a, you know, a Kobe Bryant type injury. You know, I think Kyrie, did he tear his Achilles this year? Oh, brutal. I've heard people say like the only guy to really come back at late stage Achilles injury like that is Kevin Durant. I don't know if we think Dame is on the same level of Kevin Durant just based off of, you know, raw athleticism. But yeah, very, very sad situation for the Bucks. And unfortunately, this sad situation created a pathway to the King being right yet again. When the Bucks, I think, lost game two with Dame, you know, he texted me, Bucks need to trade Giannis. That's my King impression. The Bucks need to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's, you know, it's grim. That's all they can do. Damian Lillard has no trade value. And I was like, ah, just trade Dame instead of Giannis. I know he doesn't have a lot. No one wants the contract, but you can't trade Giannis. He's your franchise cornerstone. I told Bucks fans around me about this. Dr. Jones and Jana, who have been on the show, I told him he's saying trade Giannis. This guy's out of his mind. It's ridiculous. And they agreed with me until the Damian Lillard torn Achilles. Now you got a guy who you're paying, what, $60 million a year with a torn Achilles at age 35. You don't know how he's going to recover. Those Bucks fans, I was shocked and not appalled, but just disappointed to see. Not disappointed even. Just, it's just sad to see those Bucks fans switch to, you know what? Actually, we do need to trade Giannis. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I'm not even a Bucks fan. I'm a Lakers fan. We're getting fricked too. Shout out Chiok. But anyways, unfortunately, the Milwaukee is bucked. And I know because fans I've good friends with who never wanted to trade Giannis, would never want to, are at the point where they're like, it's probably the best thing for our future. You know, you get 3 or 4 first rounders, maybe some young guys, who knows. But yeah, really sad state of affairs in Milwaukee. I hope they don't trade Giannis. I hope they find a way to build around him. But yeah, Lillard's situation is tough. Prayers up for Lillard and his recovery. But yeah, not a lot to say. Milwaukee is playing in about 10 minutes here. I'm really cutting into the time. My brother's probably going to be a little mad because he misses part of the first quarter. But it's been a pretty ugly series. Like I said, they're down 3-1. So is Milwaukee bucked? Yeah, kind of. All right, let's get into some other news. Who's on the move? That's the next question. Tyler Lockett. Titans signed him to a 1-year, $4 million deal worth up to $6 million. I think that came on the eve of the NFL draft. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, yep. I knew Cam Ward was a Titan, but yes, Cam Ward is a Titan. They get a veteran presence at receiver. The Lions are signing Kirby Joseph to a 4-year, $86 million contract extension. He's not on the move. He's staying put in Detroit. Who is on the move is Nico Amoliva. Amoliva, Tennessee. I don't know how to say the last name. Nico Amoliva. He's transferring to UCLA. It'll be interesting to see him in the Big Ten. Big Ten football. I don't know if he can handle the cold weather down in Los Angeles. But yeah, I wonder if he'll get that $4 million that he was asking from Tennessee. I doubt it. Who else is on the move? Tyron Smith. He retired. I don't know if that really means he's on the move. That probably means he's going to be a little more sedentary and, you know, probably go on vacation. But 8-time Pro Bowler, Tyron Smith, Hall of Famer. I don't want to hear about it. If you don't think Tyron Smith is a Hall of Famer, comment down below and I will track you down and punch you. No, that's an open-ended threat. This is a satirical show. If any law enforcements are watching, This is going to be a very short mega show. I'm kind of rapid firing through this, but I just want to get back in the swing of the show. But I gotta. Well, let me do this. I'm cutting into the Bucks game, but the Suns. Speaking of Bucks, fired Mike Budenholzer. Good move. Yeah, nothing much to say about that. Suns are trash, and yeah, why not blame it on your coach and not your GM, who, you know, paid Bradley Beal a Lionel Messi type contract. Quick sip of water before I say Shaq has been hired by Sacramento State as a general manager. I guess his kid plays there. Based on what we've seen from Inside the NBA, and I hate to shit on Shaq or Inside the NBA because it's my favorite halftime show ever, but based on that, I don't know if he's going to be a great GM at Sacramento State because he doesn't watch basketball. People are saying he doesn't watch the NBA, and we were joking about it because, you know, a regular season game against the Celtics and the Thunder, he said, oh, I'm not watching that. You know, that's my day off. I only watch when I'm working. My, you know, Jones and Jana were joking to me. He doesn't even watch the game we're watching right now. We've seen more of it. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then we have hockey on the other TV, and Shaq pops out of nowhere with a hockey stick. And it's like playing hockey. They're like, see? He's not watching the game. He's playing hockey on the TNT NHL set or whatever. But yeah, I guess congrats, Sacramento State. You got Shaq. So, I mean, maybe GM's not as hard of a job in college. It's more so about the draw. You know, if Shaq's the GM, it'll be a little easier to get some recruits with a, you know, Hall of Famer as your general manager. Moving on, George Kittle, he is not on the move. He's staying put. 4 years, $76 million extension with the 49ers. Well deserved. Scroll down on the document. Kings hire interim coach Doug Christie. Okay. I still don't know why Mike Brown got fired and then they blew it up. Like, are you blaming it on Brown? Or are you blaming it on De'Aaron Fox? Or are you just giving up? I don't know. But they're re-signing the interim coach. The Sacramento Chicago Kings, as they're known, because of DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. I hope I don't sound too nasally. I think I have a cold or spring allergies of some sort. But yeah, last little bullet point on this long-ended question. That's just a way to, you know, get through my news bullet points. The Chargers, J.K. Dobbins, he's not on the move. Okay, maybe not the best question to talk about it, but J.K. Dobbins, actually, he could be on the move because the Chargers applied the unrestricted free agent, UFA tender, to running back J.K. Dobbins, but he now remains eligible to sign with any team. He will still count against a compensatory formula if he signs with another team before training camps open in July, but the Chargers will retain his exclusive negotiating rights if he doesn't. So so he is on the move. He's leaving Chargers. Sorry, I can't read. Sounds like he could return, but with Omarion Hampton, the rookie, and Najee Harris in Los Angeles, Dobbins, he was great last year, but the health is always a concern with him. I'm trying to think of a bet. I can't use health as a segue to this next part because that's just a fucked up joke I'm not making. So let me just put another dollar in this 20 imaginary dollar F-bomb jar. This is probably the weirdest clown questions episode of all time. So let's rein it in with Mr. Lee Corso. With my question, how will we live without Lee Corso? Now that I'm thinking about it, that's maybe a terrible way to phrase that because it sounds like he did not pass away. He just will no longer be on College Game Day. He had kind of been, you know, here and there on the shows recently, of course. But he's going to retire after one final show, I think August 30th, maybe the week zero or week one college football game. But I don't know. I can't live without him. I can't live without those mascot headgear picks. That's the biggest concern I have is what are they going to do? Are they still going to do mascot headgear picks? I don't think you can because that's Lee's thing. That's the tradition. That's what he's known for. That's what part of what makes College Game Day so great. If Pat McAfee starts putting on the mascot hats, I'm thinking that might be the route they go, and I will be pissed. I'm starting to get more on the King side, like I said, and even with this Pat McAfee stuff. So no, Pat McAfee, you cannot do the mascot heads. Nick Saban, hell no. So I think they might just have to find a new tradition. Maybe make McAfee like dress up as one of the teams, but not, don't do the mascot head thing. That's Lee Corso's. Lee Corso's the GOAT, and that's why this week's first year interruption is with Lee Corso. So let's hear from Lee. This is one of my favorite moments from his. I wanted to find a game day clip from LSU Wisconsin game at Lambeau Field I attended, but it was grainy footage, so I didn't use it. But I loved that game because of the I brought a sign to the game that said Leonard Fournette killed Harambe. But yeah, shout out to the legend Lee Corso. Here's first year interruption with Lee Corso.
Kyle, how can you pick against SMU? Look at them over there. Red, white, and blue. USA. Ah, fuck it.
Glad there's a delay.
Shasta, shame on you. Watch that mouth out. Carl, great job. Thank you, my man. You brought out the Cougar and Corso. Dave Patch and Columbus, help us.
Oh, my goodness. Great clip of Lee there, swearing, saying the F word on national TV. Shout out, Lee. I got you. I will pay that $1. I'm using these post-it notes at as placeholders, and I'll get change for this 20 after the show for the F-bomb jar. But shout out Lee Corso, absolute legend. He is college football. Yeah, there's not much to say. I'm going to miss him. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it. But yeah, thank you, Lee. That's all I can say. You made college football, you made a pregame show before college football, before the game even started. You made it fun. You made it entertaining, and football fans will always love you for it. So thanks, Lee. Sorry to get sentimental. Let's get maybe cumbersome, as it is 5 o'clock exactly, which means the Bucks game is just tipping off. I wonder if Miles Turner or Brooke Lopez won the tip. Probably Miles Turner, but hopefully we can do this somewhat rapid fire. This is a lot more highlights than usual, but we got the top 22 goosebump moments of the last 2 weeks. So it's not even the most recent ones, like dating back to Sunday. Aaron Gordon's buzzer beating dunk will not be on there, but I'm going to maybe try to sneak in 2 shows this week. That's probably ambitious, but the fact that I'm saying it makes it more likely that it'll happen. The King hit my line. I got to hit your line. The Derby's coming up. Maybe we try to sneak in a quick show if we can. But let's get to it. The top 22 goosebump moments of the last 2 weeks. Starting off at number 22, we have Trevor Story walking it off for the Red Sox on an infield hit.
So many ways to win it right here for Trevor Story. The Blue Jays have no choice. The infield is in.
A little dribbler on the infield.
Number 21, Lourdes Gurriel with a walk-off sack fly to complete an improbable comeback versus my Brewers.
Improbable come-from-behind victory. Perdomo tags, throw to the plate, is not in time!
Number 20, Ty France and the Minnesota Twins win the series versus the Mets on a walk-off.
Lines this one to right center field. That's a base hit. Misplayed in center. Buxton rounding third. He will score! Twins win! Twins win! The Minnesota Twins with a walk-off win!
Number 19, the Royals walk it off the bat of Freddie Fermin.
Field and down! And Freddie Fermin wins it in the bottom of the...
Number 18, Brooks Baldwin wins it in the ninth for the White Sox over the Red Sox. Number 17, Joey Bart's fly ball wins it for the Pirates in a 13-inning marathon.
Left field plenty deep. This is going to win it. Joey Bart will get the base hit to walk it off. Raise the Jolly Roger.
Number 16, Adolis Garcia walks off L.A. on a moonshot for the Rangers.
The deep left center field, Adolis Garcia with a walk-off home run.
The Rangers have won it 4-3.
Number 15, Justin Thomas with a birdie putt to walk off the RBC Heritage Tournament.
Is it the winning
on a
putt?
Playoff
Here
hole.
It comes. Yes, it is. Justin Thomas back in the winner's circle.
Number 14, Francisco Lindor's 250th career home run is a walk-off.
Fly ball. That should do it. Upper deck. It's gone. Francisco Lindor walks it off for the Mets. His first walk-off home run in a Mets uniform. And this place is going.
Number 13, Cody Bellinger lays out and makes the catch to secure a Yankee win.
Bellinger, he dives and makes the play, and the Yankees win 4-3 on a sparkler by Cody Bellinger, and the Yankees sweep the...
Number 12, Bub Carrington hits an unbelievable circus shot to win it at the buzzer.
Carrington.
Are you serious? Number 11, Dane Meyers with one of the most sensational walk-off catches you will ever see.
Back, still going back, he makes the catch! Oh my goodness, Dane Meyers!
Meyers, a dead sprint back to the wall in straightaway center, leaped up to make the grab, and went face first into the padded wall.
Number 10, Marcell Ozuna, walk-off dinger for Atlanta in the 11th. Number 9, Mike Yastrzemski hits a walk-off homer into the Pacific Ocean.
The pitch.
High drive to right. It is out of here.
Deep down the right field line, headed for San Francisco Bay. Goodbye.
That one is wet.
And we are going home.
Number 8, Tyler Seguin with a walk-off OT goal for the Stars.
Drives to the net. He holds, finds a cutter, score! Marchman sets up Seguin!
Number 7, Harrison Barnes drains the three at the buzzer to beat his former team.
Harrison Barnes, the former Warrior, fades for the win. Harrison Barnes does it in the Bay!
Number 6, Max Domi with a walk-off OT goal for Toronto.
Drops for Domi. He's through!
Number 5, Philip Danault fends off a furious Oilers comeback with his clutch goal.
More to the trailer. Danault scores! Deflected in front. 41 seconds left. This wild game, game one of this first round series, has the Kings back.
Number 4, Colin Blackwell with a walk-off OT goal in game 2.
Then he's on it again. He scores! He scores! Colin Blackwell wins it! The series is tied!
Number 3, Alex Ovechkin with a game-winning OT goal for the Capitals.
The puck is free! And a great chance for Beauvillier! Ovechkin scores! Now he has that playoff overtime goal! What else can he do? Washington wins! 3-2.
Number 2, Owen Michaels, double OT game winner, sends Western Michigan to the championship game.
Goes for the win! He scores! Owen Michaels is the hero for Western Michigan.
Number 1, Rory McIlroy finally completes the career grand slam as he wins on a playoff hole at the Masters. Number 1 moment.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Shouts out Rory McIlroy. Really cool moment there. Wish I had been watching. Could have been watching it live. Hopefully this show hasn't been as weird as it feels. Or maybe, hopefully it is. Hopefully that's maybe that's more entertaining than, you know, people are trying to be all buttoned up and, you know, wearing suits and shit. I don't know who I'm making fun of. Stephen A. Smith, you take the heat. But let's get to my Cheaters NBA playoff picks. That's what I was gonna call it, but that was like a week ago when I was gonna be picking the playoffs after like a game one or two. There's series that have completely ended, so really this should be the losers NBA playoff picks. I had Cavs in five. Wrong. They swept the heck out of the Heat. They went for the record. Didn't quite get it like the Thunder, trying to get a 58-point win. I think they won by 55. Or 54, but yeah, Heat, they're done. I had Celtics in four. I was wrong. I'll change that to five at the risk of the Magic winning tonight and looking stupid. There's games tonight. People are probably going to watch this show after the games because who's going to turn off the NBA playoffs to watch this stupid show? So I'm probably going to look like a fool making these picks and then watching them after these games. And series could have already ended, but I'll go Pacers in six. If the Bucks lose, that'll be five. Give me Knicks in seven. I really wanted to take Pistons in seven, but they're down 3-1. I think they fight back, but lose in game seven. OKC in four. I guess I would have gotten that one right. Did I really predict OKC to sweep the Grizzlies? I don't think. I don't even think I had that one, probably. I probably would have had OKC in six. I have Warriors in six. That one's looking okay if the Rockets win another game here and make it 3-2. Nuggets in seven. I'm going to have to stick with that. My Jokic ticket, not Jokic ticket, my NBA Nuggets championship ticket. Don't feel good about it at all. Don't even know if they can beat the Clippers. But hey, Aaron Gordon hit that dunk at the buzzer. That'll be in next show's Goosebump Moments of the Week. But yeah, give me Nuggets in seven. And the one I'm procrastinating to talk about is my team, the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, I wanted to do the Shannon Sharp thing, you know, Ant-Man, Jackie Chan, Will I Am, Lakers in five. Well, we can't win in five. We'd have to win in seven, and we'd have to come back from a 3-1 deficit. And shoot, I was supposed to bring sunglasses so I could do the LeBron meme. You know, no team in NBA history has come back from a 3-1 deficit. We could do it. We could do it, right? I don't know. I think we almost do it. I think we get it close. Unfortunately, as a Lakers fan, though, Bron tried, Luka cried, Shannon lied. Wolves in seven.